Okay, so this week we're continuing with our theme on the Holy Spirit. I've entitled it Welcoming the Holy Spirit. Deb spoke last week, and I was thinking after Deb's had spoken, each week we're just bringing a window on the Holy Spirit. You know, what Deb said wasn't the complete picture, but it was a window of truth and understanding and experience which Deb's brought to us. And this week I'm going to bring another window, just looking from maybe a slightly different perspective of the Holy Spirit. And it's probably me again next week and then somebody else the week after. And I'm hoping that these times together aren't so much intellectual. That's important, but I'm hoping it helps us come to a place of experiencing more of Him, His love, His life, and all that He has to offer us. So when the suggestion was that we focused on the Holy Spirit during this time, I thought, what a good way like to start our new year again. You know, September's like the start again, isn't it, when we all come back from holidays and people come and go from university. So I just wanted to explain, what I'm saying today isn't the whole picture. In fact, I don't feel I'm really giving a teaching. It is a teaching, but it's just, I think I just feel like I want to just share from my heart rather than my head, and we'll see where all that leads us to. Ignorance about the Holy Spirit, about who He is, about His purpose and His role, I think is one of Satan's greatest triumphs. Take Him out of the church, and the church remains weak, blind, hopeless, and helpless. And I'll share a little bit of my story later on, and you'll hear from there. You heard Deb's last week that both of us, we weren't brought up in churches which were experiencing the Holy Spirit. And then even in the New Testament, you know, the disciples, there were some disciples there who'd not even heard of Him. And and Satan's kingdom, by and large, is left unscathed if the Spirit of God is not active in our midst. And Paul met these disciples in Ephesus, and they said, "Who is the Holy Spirit?" You know, they'd been baptized, John's baptism, baptism of repentance. Christians, but not even heard about the Holy Spirit. You know, I do sometimes wonder if Paul was to come to LifeSpring, whether he might ask a similar question. Have you received the Holy Spirit? What was it that he saw was lacking? What was missing in those disciples? Something triggered that question. And then they explained they hadn't even heard of Him. But Jesus, on the other hand, He talks about when demons are cast out by the finger of God, then you know the kingdom of God has come to you. Matthew says the Spirit of God. When demons are cast out by the Spirit of God, you know the kingdom has come upon you. You see, the Holy Spirit, He's the power. He's the life of the kingdom of heaven, which is breaking through into this earth more and more ever since the days of Jesus. That's why we have testimony. You know, each of those testimonies was a testimony of God's kingdom breaking through. Impossible things happening and changing because of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I mean, that lady, I don't even know she was a Christian in the Cafe 12, but yeah, she came in and the miracle happened. Not immediately, but 3 days later, you know, perfectly sorted out. God's good. God's on the move. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad to have been alive, and I'm alive in these days. Days of unprecedented Christian growth. We might not see it in Reading at the moment, or in this country, or even in Europe. We are the dark continent. But across the world, the church is the biggest that it's ever been. It's growing at a faster rate than it's ever grown. More Christians are being saved every day than children are being born. So the increase is increasing all the time. And the greatest growth has come from churches which are Pentecostal and charismatic churches. Churches which traditionally have made room for the Holy Spirit. And over the centuries, there's always been a light shining. Sometimes it's almost got extinguished through persecution. Like China, for example. You know, a few decades ago, you know, the Christians were all driven out of China, and there was just a flicker of a flame left. But now they think the greatest revival in history could well be happening in China with over 100 million Christians. Isn't that amazing? That's more than the population of this country, people coming to the Lord. Sometimes that little flame of the Holy Spirit that has almost got smothered out through legalism and religion, and we've structured what was meant to be life and light, and we've almost put it out, but praise God, it's never gone out. That flame has continued to be alive. And new moves of God have come and they've gone. And new moves have often been resisted by Christians because it doesn't fit their mindset. It doesn't fit what they think God would do or should be doing, or the Holy Spirit would be allowed to be doing. And the danger is, if it doesn't fit what we think, we resist it and we fight against it and we speak against it. And there's plenty of that happening today. So we have to remain humble and open and ask for discernment to understand and to see what God is doing. And I think the sad thing is that most moves of God, they're not resisted by those that don't know the Lord. They're resisted by those in the church who should know better. But the Holy Spirit keeps coming. He keeps coming. And his light continues to burn. So in our circle, if you like, we're now used to modern church. We're used to drums and electric guitars. We're used to modern songs. We're used to lights and projectors. You know, smoke machines haven't arrived here just yet, but who knows, one day. Auditoriums rather than sanctuaries. You know, modern. And the question we have to ask ourselves, are we contemporary church or are we a charismatic church? And I've heard us described as both. Are we contemporary or charismatic? And one of the reasons that we felt it was good just to focus again on the Holy Spirit is there's such a burden and desire in our heart. We remain charismatic. I'm not saying we shouldn't be contemporary. We remain charismatic. And charismatic is to do with him. It's to do with his presence. It's to do with his freedom. It's to do with his gifts and his passion and his life. Amen? So with contemporary church, we can do church without him. But charismatic church desperately needs him. Like a fish needs water, charismatic church needs the Holy Spirit. Contemporary church may have more of an emphasis on performance. Charismatic church, on presence. I love the bands. I love the abilities which musicians and the singers and others have. Great. I'm not against performance, but don't override presence. It has to be about him. It has to be him in this place. It's not the performance which will change people's lives. It's the presence which will change people's lives. Contemporary church, very much to do with the outward. Charismatic is to do with the inward. You know, it's not a matter of, oh, how do I express? What should I be doing? It's much more, there's him rising inside, and I want to worship you. I want to love you. I want to dance. I want to sing. I want to shout. It's much more to do with what's coming on the inside, which affects the outside. Contemporary church, it's to do with, based on what we can do with natural ability. Charismatic church is saying, I want to be open to supernatural dimension. Stuff which is impossible, I want to be open to, that you might come and just have your way. Now, if I'm honest, I'm not against contemporary. We need both. We need to be operating in the culture of our times. But even more importantly, we need him in our midst, because just one touch from him changes everything. Amen. Amen. The warnings in Scripture are there. Paul asks the Galatian church, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Are you trying now to do stuff in the natural? You're not relying on the Spirit anymore. You've just come to rely on your own abilities. And this is the danger which we all face. We can get so professional and so reliant on what we've become accustomed to. Whereas, in fact, the safest place for us at the end of the day is to be totally reliant on him. We want to be a spiritual people. So let's look again quickly this amazing person, the Holy Spirit. Debs reminded us last week he's a person. Okay, he's invisible, doesn't have a body, you can't touch him, but he's a person. In the Bible, there's images of the dove, images of fire. They represent him, they're windows, if you like. He's not a dove. I mean, he is a dove, but he's not a dove. He's fire and he's not fire. But he's a person. And he has personality. And by the way, he's not an it, he's a he. One of my little bugbears. I just don't like it when people refer to the Holy Spirit as it. He comes, not it comes. Some might say she comes, but we won't go down that line. But you have to understand, God is male and female, and maybe the Holy Spirit in some way reflects a little bit more of that feminine side, the character of God. But I'm not going to go down that line. But it's he's a person, and he wants to come and be with us. I hear people refer to him as it. He's not a force, he's not a power, he's not a feeling. He's someone who I love, and someone who you can love too. He's probably the most neglected, misunderstood, and rejected person of the Godhead. And I think we've been learning to honor him more, and we need to learn to honor him and his presence and love him for who he is. So he's a person. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, sin. He doesn't like sin. He's a Holy Spirit. Disobedience, wrong attitudes, negative speech. It's all sin, by the way, but I'm just developing it. Negative speech and gossip. This is the stuff that grieves the Holy Spirit, makes him sad. Paul says this in the following verse. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And I think the opposite helps us to host the Spirit. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I don't know if you realize you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't carry on regardless and sin and mess up in your life and think nothing matters, nothing changes. He's a Holy Spirit, and he will be grieved if you continue in the old way of life. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. Paul says in Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks. Notice the attitude again, by the way. It's a positive attitude, isn't it? Rejoicing, praying, giving thanks in all circumstances. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. And I just see again here, our attitude is so important in life. Thankful, positive. Paul says, focus on what is good. Hold on to what is good. Reject the evil. And by so doing, I believe we can make place for the Spirit to be released in our lives. So how do we quench the Spirit? Well, sin, of course, quenches the Spirit. But it's when we resist. It's when we it's when he gives us prophetic words and we just think, regardless, you know, we just don't even bother to weigh them up. Don't treat them with contempt, Paul says. You know, we need to take seriously prophecy and the gifts which he wants to give us. I think we quench the Spirit when he gives us words or pictures or dreams or opportunities which we know he's stirring us to pray, like they did in Cafe 12 the other day and prayed for that lady. Somebody could have missed that opportunity. And they would have quenched the Spirit of God. He would have been stirring that, you know, there's a need here to meet by my power. Oh, I'm a bit nervous. Oh, I don't know how to open that conversation. Oh, I don't know that person. But somebody took the initiative and prayed. And rather than quenching, released the Spirit of God. So I just want to encourage us, let the river flow. Let the life come. You know, don't be overly concerned about, is it right, is it wrong? Because there should be those around which can judge and weigh that up. I think the important thing is share the picture, share the dream, share the words of God, bring the words of knowledge, pray for healing, do what we can to release the life and the Spirit of God. You see, the problem is when he's quenched or grieved, Debs reminded us last week, he doesn't leave us, but he withdraws. He wants to be in the front seat. He wants to be the driver's seat. But when we quench or grieve him, he just very quietly takes a back seat. Okay? You want to carry on without me? I thought you wanted me to be your leader. I thought you wanted me to lead you and to help you understand the truths of Scripture and to be a godly person. But if you want to carry on in that particular way, I'll just take a step back. He's still there. He's still there, but he's not in his rightful place. And so I think when we grieve or quench him, we need to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. You can tell when you grieve or quench him. You know, when he withdraws, it's that sense of his presence goes too. And it's really difficult to love someone you've got absolutely no feelings for. I know what we're talking about isn't just based on feelings. Feelings can go up and down and feelings can mislead us and everything else. But when you're used to the sense of his presence and him being in your life, and that is no more, and we can stand on faith and declare that he's still among us, all absolutely true, but we need to say, Holy Spirit, come back into the driver's seat again. I'm missing your presence. I'm missing that touch. I'm missing that inspiration, that revelation. The Bible's dry. I've got absolutely nothing from the Bible. Well, Holy Spirit, come. I come to church and they're singing and it goes over my head. Just songs, just words. I used to be able to engage, but it's meaningless to me now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I don't know where I've gone wrong, but I've grieved you. I've let you down somewhere, but I want you to come and take that place again. I used to be used in this, that, and the other ministry, and I've got nothing to offer. Holy Spirit, come back again. Come back again into my life. He's never left you. I might say next week, don't get too caught up on terminology. Come back again, sounds like he's gone. He's never really gone. He's just not where he needs to be and wants to be. And that's in the driver's seat of our lives. So, it's not theology's changed, it's just our experience has changed. Invite him back. That dove on our shoulder, Deb said last week, we want him to remain, don't we? We don't want to frighten him off. We don't want to take that dove into places where he's not going to feel safe. We want to be a church which hosts him well, not just to here, in our homes, in our workplaces, and wherever we might be. Just a few more thoughts, but as I say, I want less teaching and more just sharing here. I love the Holy Spirit. And because he's God, I talk to him, pray to him if you like. Because he's God, I worship him. I'm saying this because some people ask the question, can you worship the Holy Spirit? Well, I do. He's no less God than Father or Jesus. And in some mystical way, they're all completely one. And yet there's three persons. I worship the Father, I worship Jesus, I worship the Holy Spirit. And I love him. And I want you, I want us to learn to love him too. A few months ago, I got out my guitar again. Not good enough to play up here, but I can play by myself when nobody's listening. And it's funny that I just began to play. And the old songs which I played 20 years ago sometimes come back. And one of the old songs was, Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Who knows that song? I mean, this is showing your age. And I just got stuck on the third verse. Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. It's worship. I love him. He's the only member of Godhead here. Jesus isn't here, by the way. You know that, don't you? Jesus is a man. He's in heaven. The Spirit of Jesus is here. That's why Jesus says it's good that I go. Because when he went from Jerusalem, that was the only place he ever was, or Galilee, or around that area, he was only where he was. It's good that I go, because when I go, he can come. And he can be in Saudi Arabia, and he can be in Reading, and he can be in Bogota, and he can be in different churches and different homes and wherever we are. Hallelujah. It's the Spirit of Jesus. It's the Spirit of God. Oh. But it's not always been this way for me. You don't mind a few tears. Sorry. I wasn't brought up in a charismatic church. I was brought up in a Christian home and For that, I am really grateful. But in my early years, if I was Debs, I'd be over here somewhere. Yeah, I'd never heard of the Holy Spirit. Brought up in a church and went every Sunday, never heard of the Holy Spirit. And then I remember an occasion, I'd been in my teens, I was on the phone to a friend, and my dad was watching television, and he said, "Old son," so he used to call me, "Old son, when you come, he said, "they're speaking in tongues. Look, come and have, look, see what's on this television." So when I finished my phone call, I was watching this strange phenomenon as a teenager. How weird. Never heard of it. Wore up in church all my life, never heard of it. How strange. And my dad was just intrigued. He was obviously 30, 40 years older than me, and 40 years older, and he'd never really seen this either all of his life, and he'd been brought up in church all of his life. So the Holy Spirit wasn't like evident and with us in the same sort of way as he is today. And then a little while later, I saw a little leaflet which one of our Baptist neighbours had left. It was quite a pamphlet, actually, how tongues and the charismatic movement is of the devil, and how we just need to avoid it and keep away from it. I mean, that was the upbringing. That was where we were. And I was just nominal, wasn't interested, intrigued. And then I began to hear about more people praying in tongues. Don't talk about it so much these days, do we? And prophesying and singing in tongues. And then some of my people from the church that I was in, this Brethren church, they began to go off to Basingstoke. And there was an All Saints night there, and it used to be pastored by Mike Pusey, by the way. He's coming in a few weeks' time to also share on the Holy Spirit again. Used to be pastored by Mike Pusey, and they were experiencing the Holy Spirit, and there was gifts, and there was prophecies, and there was singing in tongues, and I mean, I wasn't interested. I kept well away from it, but it got worse because some of these people asked the people from Basingstoke to pray for them, and some of my friends began to speak in tongues. Began to prophesy. And these were people which I knew. And then they began to lift up their hands in meetings. Strange, weird, what is going on? And then they introduced songs and kept repeating them, and like worship songs. And well, I was safely backslidden, so it didn't really affect me too much. Until one night, he got me too. And I wasn't even asking for him. Praise God. In an instant, everything changed. I wanted more. I was hungry. I went to Basingstoke too. And I began to lift up my hands, not because others were doing it. It was just something on the inside. I don't know what's happening to me. This was what I was all against before. But something's happened. God's come. Reality, life, changed my life. I was enveloped in love. Didn't know how to respond. Didn't know what to do. But I can tell you the day, the time, the place. I know absolutely everything about that particular time because it changed me forever. Hallelujah. Something, or actually I should say someone, was inside of me, became real. Worship became real. I took him to work with me. I'd be sitting at my building society desk. I'd be overwhelmed with joy. I couldn't contain him. Rivers welling up, rivers. Rivers welling up. I'd come back home. I'd meet him in my bedroom. I remember I'd leave the television. They were all watching television, my family. My dad wondered what was going on. I just wanted to move away, spend some time with Holy Spirit. And they'd come powerfully. I'd be on my knees. I'd be in tears, whatever it was. And I'd be there for quite a long time, just loving and worshipping him. He became real. Something changed in my life. That honeymoon went on for many months. It's not quite the same now. That may well be there's a different level anyhow of where we are, but there's a longing still there. Shush. There's a longing still there for more of him, and to experience him more. And he still comes. And he comes here sometimes, and I love him. And I'm sure you experience that too. I was on holiday in Crete. Lovely holiday, sitting by the pool, nice hot weather. Jim wishes he was there. I was reading a book called Post Charismatic. And it was a book written a few years ago about swarms and hundreds of people leaving charismatic churches. And it was asking the question, why? You know, what are the extremes? What's put people off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was quite intrigued. I could see some of us in what I was reading and didn't agree with all the conclusions that the author was bringing. But, just sitting by the pool there, just mulling things over, thinking through what the book was saying, thinking through Life Spring, thinking through issues, thinking through challenges, just talking to the Holy Spirit. And I remember one day I just put my book down and I just got up and I leaned over the balcony and looked towards the little village out there and the cove. And he came. And that sense of his presence just welled up and my eyes did what they're doing now. And I just worshipped. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I love you. Thank you for being here. Whatever this book's got to say and whatever I've got to learn, we need to do, but it's all about you. At the end of the day, Holy Spirit, it's you and it's your presence. And I think that's what I want to leave with you today. I could talk about purpose. I could talk about a whole lot of other stuff. But you know, when Jesus first drew his disciples, it was so they might be with him so he could send them out. But it started off just by being with him. And I just want us to, I'm just closing now, gone on way too long. But I'm just wanting us to understand he wants fellowship with you. He wants intimacy with you. He loves you. And he wants you to embrace him and open up to him. The rest will follow. We'll come to that. We've got plenty of time. The rest will follow. Do you think we could stand together and let's invite him to come? Yeah, just something quiet for now. Yeah, thanks for that. Are you with me? Are you? What I've said may be totally foreign to some of you, and you may not have realized, like I didn't realize for many, many years, that he's more than just an it in the Bible. He's a person that wants to come and help us experience him. And we'll have the opportunity for people to come forward in a little while, and they can come to the front and we'll pray. But I just wonder whether, if you're up for it, we invite the Holy Spirit to come just where you are. Just where you are. And I'm going to invite him to come. I believe he wants to come. He wants to touch your heart. Can we do that? If you're receiving a gift, you might put your hands out to receive. Just however you relax, I just want to just pray very simply, Holy Spirit, come. And let's just see what he wants to do. Then we'll sing a song. So Holy Spirit, come. Just like you came to me in Crete. Just like you came to us here in the pavilion. Just like you come to us. And just as you want to come, we want to invite you. We want to say sorry where we've quenched and grieved. Really sorry. We don't want you to be on the back seat. We want you to be in the front, leading us. And I want to ask you, Spirit of God, to come now. Bring hope, bring life, bring your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, just let him come.